E.R. Squibb and Sons, manufacturing chemist to the medical profession since 1858, brings the distinguished actor Henry Fonda in Young Mr. Lincoln with Ward Bond. Young Mr. Lincoln, as best original story of the year, was nominated for the 1939 Academy Award. Mr. Fonda, as best actor of the year, was nominated for the 1940 Academy Award.
Abraham Lincoln, a young man full of droll stories and deep, quick laughter. A story of Abe Lincoln in Springfield, Illinois. A fine summer afternoon at the fair is over. The barbecue fires glow red now in the darkness, and families are rounding up their children and seeking their wagons for the lazy ride back to town. Suddenly, a woman screams. A rush of running men, blood spilled on a dark meadow, and a hushed whisper of murder. The pioneer mother standing stark against the breeze, staring at her two sons. Two boys, suddenly strangers, standing over the body of a third lying stabbed. Death had come under the dark skies over Illinois.
He's dead. Who done it?
Them fellas, Sheriff. Them Clay brothers. They was fighting with this here scrub white and they cut him. There's the knife they done it with.
Which one of you Clay boys done this?
Me.
No. I want the truth now. Which one of you cut him?
I did.
That ain't so. I done it.
I tell you, it was me. He was going for Adam with a gun. And
one of you's lying. Now, which one is it? All right. Anybody see it?
I reckon I did.
Who are you?
Their mother.
Well, which one was it?
I'm not saying.
Well, it don't make no difference anyhow. Under the law, they're both equally guilty. Come on now, you're both under arrest. Alma Cass, I appoint you temporary deputy. Help me get these two fellas down to the jail. Come on, you two, let's go.
Who are these fellas? Never saw them around here before.
Strangers around here. Folks ain't got no right to come to town and start beating people up.
Two of them jump up for us and stabbing them in the back.
I said you ought to have a touch of this.
Rope, yes, sir. First the medicine for them. Hey, come on, fellas. Get a rope and hurry.
They can't do that to my boys. They can't do that to my boys.
Come on, ma'am. We have to hurry. Those fellas mean what they say about lynching your son.
Leave me alone. What do you want? Who are you?
My name's Lincoln, ma'am. Abe Lincoln. I'm your lawyer, ma'am. Come on, you better hurry and get down to that jail.
They've got a person. Don't be a fool. They'll get us. Who can't help us? They'll have to bust in first.
They're going to get no murder, sir.
I can't open the door, boys. The law's got to protect these Clay fellas and give them a trial.
Better. Now, gentlemen, I'm not here to make any speeches. All I got to say is I can lick any man here hands down.
We know you, Abe Lincoln. Come on, man, let's get him.
Hold on, Buck. I thought I'd find that big mouth of yours around here telling people what to do.
I'm Buck, all right. A big Buck on this lick.
Then come on and what's your horn? What's holding you? Maybe some of you other gentlemen like to take Buck's place.
Me, I can lift you myself.
Is that a fat neighbor or just your notion?
Get away from there, Lincoln, or we'll give it to you, too.
Well, well, if it's not Bill Gentry. First time I ever heard of you trying to break into jail, Bill. But you were too busy trying to break out.
Shut up! Go on, let's get him.
Howdy, Clarence. Last time I saw you, you were heading for the rock pile. For beating up your wife. Now, gentlemen, all joking aside, let's look at this matter from my side. You all know I'm just a fresh lawyer trying to get ahead. Some of you boys act like you want to do me out of my first client.
Go ahead, Abe. Go on and talk.
I'm not saying you fellas aren't right. Maybe these clay boys do deserve to hang. But with me handling their case, it looks like you won't have much to worry on that score. All I ask is to have it done with some legal pomp and show.
Yeah, but what about our side of it? We've been to a heap of trouble not to have at least one hanging.
Sure you have. And if these boys had more than one life, I'd say go ahead. A little hanging mightn't do them any harm. But the hanging you boys had given would be so permanent. The trouble is that when men start taking the law into their own hands, this is apt in the confusion and fun to hang somebody who's not a murderer is somebody who is. Then, first thing you know, they're hanging one another from pure devilment. Till it's just to the place a man can't pass a tree or look at a rope without feeling uneasy. We seem to lose our heads at such times as this. And we things together, we'd be mighty ashamed to be by ourselves. For instance, you took Jeremiah Carter yonder. There's not a more decent, God-fearing man in Springfield than Jeremiah Carter. And I wouldn't be surprised if when he goes home, he sits down a certain book and looks into it. Maybe he'll just happen to hit on these words. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's all I got to say, friend. Good night.
Mr. Lincoln.
Yes, Miss Clay?
I ain't one to talk much. But after what they just done for us tonight, saving my boys from them...
Now, save your thanks. Here, I'll give you a hand with those mules of yours. Oh, mules. Of course, you know I'm just sort of a jackleg lawyer, not much experience at this sort of thing. But as long as you want me, I'll be the best I can. Still, maybe you'd feel a lot safer if McCartney was here. Maybe you could get a hold of Steve Douglas. I hear that clover tongue of his can be mighty useful with a jury.
We don't know nothing about lawyers and things like that.
Well, I'll do the best I can. You know, my mother, Nancy Hanks, would have been just about your age if she lived. I've an idea she's been a whole lot like you, too. A whole lot like me, man.
Thank you.
And the dear Clay, which one of your boys is white?
I can't.
But I'm your lawyer. You can trust me. I don't want to scare you, but we've got a fight on our hands. I got to know what I'm doing.
I can't tell you, Mr. Lincoln. It'd be like choosing the team.
What do you suppose made them both say they done it?
Matt said it because he's the oldest. And Adam said it because Matt's got a wife and a baby, I reckon.
There's a lot of people who'd like to see those boys hang.
I know. But I just can't.
No, I reckon you can't. Take it easy riding home, Abigail, and watch out for Rut. Good afternoon.
Stand. You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do.
What's your name?
J. Palmer Cass.
You knew Stovepipe?
Sure, Mr. Felder. I knew him.
The day he was killed, you'd been with him?
All day.
Do you recall where and under what circumstances you first saw the defendant?
Well, we run into him at the pie contest. Grubb kind of took a fancy to one of his gals. The fella got sore. He followed us over near the tug of war and wanted to fight.
What did Subfight do then?
He just laughed and asked them what they wanted to fight with. Knives, pistols, or fists.
How did he ask that, jokingly?
Well, he was laughing all the time.
Tell the jury what happened then.
Well, Grubb and me had a little argument. He went off by himself. Next thing I heard, I heard a shot and shouting, and I run back and found Scrub lying on the ground with those two fellows standing over him.
And the knife was on the ground between them?
Yes, sir.
Now, where was Scrub's pistol?
He holstered.
So it went off then while he was trying to get out of his holster?
Yes, sir. Yes, it did.
Thank you. Your witness, Mr. Lincoln.
What's the J stand for in your name?
John.
Then why the J. Palmer Cass? Why not John T. Cass?
Well,
anything the matter with John T.?
No, but is
J. Palmer Cass anything to conceal?
No.
And what do you fight your name in the middle for?
I got a right to call myself anything I please.
All right, but if you don't mind, I'll just call you Jack Cass.
Roger.
Your Honor, I object to this ridiculous line of questioning. Mr. Lincoln's clownishness may win him a laugh from his friends, but I assure you his entire game of buffoonery is lost on this jury.
This is the point, Mr. Lincoln.
I'll do my best, Your Honor. Now, J. Palmer Cass, you say you and Scrub White had a little argument. What was this argument about?
I'd rather not say.
Oh, you'd rather not say. Well, Jay Palmer, suppose I told you I'd rather you did say.
All right, if you want to know, we were arguing about politics.
That's something new to argue about. What kind of politics?
Well, I've learned different now. But I said that I figured that you had more sense about politics than Steve Douglas. And Scrub, he got mad as a wet hen and said you didn't.
Order, order.
Yeah, looks like I scratched up a snake then. I reckon we can allow all you said to go in. Step down.
Your Honor, I'd like to call Abigail Clay back to the stand.
Abigail Clay!
You love your boys, don't you, Mrs. Clay? You'd like to save their lives if you could. You were present the night Stubpipe was killed, weren't you?
I saw him fight.
Now, don't be afraid of me. I'm not a bloodthirsty man. I'm prepared to offer you the life of one of your sons, provided you tell us which of your boys stabbed and killed Stubpipe.
Yeah. Order, order.
I can't.
Mrs. Clay, you believe in God, don't you? Do you believe that if you take a solemn oath in the sight of God and on His holy Bible, you are bound to speak the truth?
Yes, but I can't tell you. I can't.
Your Honor, I protest against the prosecution's attempt to force this woman to decide which of her two sons will live and which will die. I have seen Abigail Clay exactly three times in my life, gentlemen, yet I know everything there is to know about her.
I know her because I've seen hundreds of women just like her, working in the field, suffering over some sick and helpless child. Women who say little and do much, who ask nothing and give all. And I tell you that such a woman would never answer the question that's been put to her here. Never. I'd rather, Mrs. Clay, see both your sons taken from you than to see you break your heart by saving one at the expense of the other. So don't tell them.
Order! Order! May it please the court to spare the jury any more of these harrowing outbursts, the state will withdraw the question. No doubt Mr. Lincoln will be glad to hear that Mrs. Clay was not the only eyewitness to the murder of Stripe.
Order, order.
Recall Mr. J. Palmer Cass to the stand.
J. Palmer Cass.
Mr. Cass, where were you at the time Stubb White was killed?
I was about, 100 yards away, I reckon.
You saw the killing with your own eyes?
Why didn't you tell us this before? Nobody asked.
Have you told anybody else about this?
No.
Why not?
Well, I didn't want to help get anybody hung.
And why do you tell us now?
Because it looks to me like both of them's going to get hung.
How could you see so clearly from a distance of 100 yards at 11 o'clock at night?
It was moon bright.
I see. Moon bright. And you clearly saw which boy pulled the knife?
Yes.
The defense will stand up. Now tell us, Mr. Cass, which defendant stabbed and killed the fight?
That one. The big one, Adam Clay.
You're out of the state, there.
Quiet! Quiet! This part is assigned until 10 tomorrow morning. Take the business away.
Continuing with part two of Young Mr. Lincoln, we want to thank 20th Century Fox for making this story available. Henry Fonda and Ward Bond will soon be seen in the 20th Century Fox production, My Darling Clementine. And now the House of Squibb presents part two of Academy Award, starring Henry Fonda in Young Mr. Lincoln with Ward Bond.
That's pretty music you're playing there, Mr. Lincoln.
Why, hello, Judge. Mighty pleasant to see you this evening.
Doggone it, Lincoln, this is against all my principles, but I want to talk to you as an older man.
Go ahead, Judge, I'm listening.
What I mean to say, that blame it, is don't you think you ought to get some older lawyer with more experience to help you out tomorrow?
Are you suggesting I retire, Judge, or just take a back seat?
I'm just suggesting that if you want me to, I'll keep the seat, Douglas.
I'm sorry, Judge, but I'm one of those fellows who don't believe in swapping horses in the middle of the stream.
Then at least change your plea. Accept sentence for your guilty client, and I'll guarantee that the state will be lenient with the other.
That's a mighty tempting offer. Mighty tempting. But I'm not sure it won't work.
But, man, you'll send both defendants to the gallows as sure as the moon sets.
Maybe, but just saying that's the way it's got to be. Good night, Judge.
Order. Order in the court.
Your Honor, the defense would like at this time to cross-examine the last witness for the state, J. Palmer Cass.
J. Palmer Cass has the stand.
Yeah.
Just say you identified Adam Clay as the killer of Scrub White.
That's right. You did it.
You're sure of that?
Sure, I'm sure.
Well, I just wanted to know. Now, you say you were about 100 yards from the scene of the fight?
Just about.
Are you familiar with the land over there?
Yep.
What's the nature of it?
Well, there's a little clearing.
And trees?
A few.
Where are they?
Between the clearing and the fairground.
And you saw through these trees?
No. I was already through the trees when I saw them fighting.
Oh, I see. I suppose the clearing was lit up by light from the barbecue fire?
No, sir.
Then how'd you see so well?
I told you it was moon bright.
Moon bright. If it hadn't been moon bright, you couldn't have seen 100 yards, could you?
No, sir.
But you did see it.
I told you I did.
And then the only reason you're telling us this now is that you feel sorry for one of the defendants.
I want to see them both get hung.
Well, I guess you wouldn't lie about a thing like that. Yep, sir. Oh, Mr. Cass, I forgot. There's just one more question I'd like to ask you. You needn't bother to come all the way back to the stand. Cass, what'd you have against Scrub White?
Nothing.
And what'd you kill him for?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, you do. Look at this book. It's Gowdy's Almanac. Go on, look at it. Look at page 12, the night of the murder. See what it says about the moon? That the moon was only in its first quarter that night and set at 10:21, 40 minutes before the killing. So it couldn't have been moon bright, could it?
Order! Order!
You lied, didn't you, Cass? You weren't trying to save these boys' necks, were you? You were trying to save your own, weren't you? Well, come on, weren't you?
No.
Then why'd you lie?
I didn't lie.
You did lie. It's just as plain as the nose on your face. But why? Come on, tell it. What made you tell a lie about that moonlight?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Then I'll tell you what I'm talking about. You lied because you and Scrub White had a fight. But it wasn't about politics. You never mentioned politics. That was your first lie, wasn't it?
It was politics. It was.
You were fighting about something else. Maybe it was money. You owed him money, or he owed you.
No.
Maybe he was getting a little graft here and there, and you wanted to be in on it.
No, sir.
Well, what was it? Come on. It was one of those things, something that made you want to get rid of Scrub.
You're crazy. He was my friend.
Maybe, but just the same, you lied. Now, why? Why did you say you saw what happened when you didn't see it? All right, I'll tell you what happened. You heard a row. You saw a fight starting, and you ran over there, and you saw that Scrub was still living. And right there on the ground, you saw the knife that Matt Clay dropped. And bent down and picked up the knife.
Your body
hid what you were doing. And then you stabbed him. You stabbed him in the back and killed him.
These two boys,
Matt and Adam, each knew he didn't do it. And therefore, each thought the other did. And their mother, Abigail, she saw the knife in Matt's hand. But she couldn't say so without putting a rope around his neck. But you killed him. And you lied, and your lie tripped you up. Your crude, cold-blooded lie that was going to cover up a crime, you committed yourself. The lie you can't deny now, can you? Answer me. You did kill him, didn't you? Didn't you?
I tell you, I didn't mean to. I'd been drinking, and we had a little fight, but I didn't mean to. Scrub was my friend, I tell you.
You're a witness, Mr. Felder.
Arthur!
Let me go! I didn't mean to kill him! Well, I reckon there's nothing holding you people now.
No, sir. There sure ain't.
But you boys better not go around thinking you killed anybody, Jim. You'd get yourselves in trouble. Goodbye, Matt. Take care of yourself.
Yes, sir. I'm a grown-up.
Mr. Lincoln.
Goodbye, Abigail.
We ain't got much, but after what we've done...
Why, thank you, ma'am. I hope all my clients will pay me as fast as you just did. Now, be careful of them mules going home. Watch out for that. Get that mule.
Oh, there you are, Abe. I had a heck of a time finding you.
Oh, evening, Judge.
Abe, I wanted to tell you, I thought you pulled a brilliant piece of strategy today, and I'm sorry about trying to talk you into taking on an older lawyer, but I didn't know you had that ace up your sleeve.
Nothing to worry about, Judge. I might have done the same thing if I were in your boots.
How did you happen to hit on Cass as the guilty?
Well, Judge, I got to thinking about Cass when he insisted on putting his name in the middle. Struck me he might have reasons for wanting to be secretive about himself. And when I found a copy of the almanac, that cinched it.
Where are you heading, Lincoln?
Oh, just thought I'd walk up the hill a piece, Judge.
The boys will be looking for you. What'll I tell them?
Oh, just tell them I got to smell country in my nose. I think I'll go on a spell from here.
Lincoln was practicing law, another young American was practicing medicine with the same hatred for all that was slipshod and untrustworthy. The young man was Dr. Edward R. Squibb, and he fought single-handed to supply the medical world with something difficult to find and urgently needed: drugs of unfailing uniformity, purity, efficacy. From his tiny laboratory, the beginning of the great house of Squibb, came not only the first uniformly safe, pure ether, something even rarer, a new way of working in the production of medicine, a quest for perfection that would continue unceasingly. It was a hope fulfilled for other doctors and surgeons of Dr. Squibb's own time. We look upon your cause as our cause, they wrote, your enterprises as the inauguration of a new era, and yourself as the exponent of the great principles of truth and humanity in array against dishonest stupidity. So began that continuing service in the cause of human health, which for generation after generation has made Squibb a name you can trust. Next Wednesday, another great picture. The House of Squibb will present Academy Award starring Douglas Fairbanks, Jr. and Virginia Bruce in The Prisoner of Zenda. Thank you.